This reading is taken from Psalm 24, and it is the whole psalm. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory.
So this morning, we're going to be thinking about one verse in Psalm 24. Hopefully we're going to have that verse come up. This is the verse we're going to think about today, okay? We're all going to say it together, all the grown-ups as well. And then by the end of today, we'll have heard two verses from the Psalms that we can remember. So this is the verse, let's say it together. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Psalm 24, verse 1. So we're going to be thinking about this verse this morning in three little sections. We've basically got three children's talks this morning. And we're going to start by thinking about the fact that the earth is the Lord's. That's something that we've sung about already this morning, that God is the creator. God made this world that you and I are living in this morning. This world is here because God deliberately made it. We've been designed, we've been created with purpose. And so that means that the earth is the Lord's. The earth that we live in this morning belongs to God. That's a really important thing, that the world we're living in comes from him. We thought at the very beginning, didn't we? I said that the first words in the Bible are God created the heavens and the earth. And if you go and read Genesis 1, we read all about how God just spoke. He just said it, and it happened. God is so powerful. He had the power to bring something, all the things we have here this morning, out of nothing. And with your help, we're going to look at a few of the things that God has made. So the first thing is that God made the seas. Who here likes going swimming in the sea? Do you like going swimming in the sea? Yeah? Only the kids. None of the grown-ups don't like going swimming in the sea. Just the kids. I would prefer swimming in the pool, to be honest. I prefer 30 degrees to 15 degrees. But nevertheless, swimming is fantastic, isn't it? Now, I wonder if any of the, maybe the, some of the children know, but do any of the grown-ups know? The biggest ocean in all the world, Santa, do you know? Where is it? Yeah, the Pacific Ocean is the biggest ocean in the world. The Pacific Ocean has got more than half of all of the water in all the rivers and all the seas and all the streams in all the world is found in the Pacific Ocean. It's massive, so massive that you could get all of the land in all the world, put it in the Pacific Ocean, and you still would have spare water. That's how big it is. And that's just one ocean in this amazing world that God has made. Our God is so powerful, he made the seas. But God didn't only just make the seas, he also made, next slide, the mountains. Now, who here likes climbing mountains? Not so many people. I'd rather just look at a mountain and maybe if there's a cup of coffee at the top, that might tempt you. But this is the biggest mountain in all the world. Anybody know the name of the biggest mountain in all the world? Mount Everest. Yeah, really good. It is Mount Everest. That's in a place called Nepal, the Himalayas. And this mountain is so big that if you, I had to write this down, if you got 4,835 of me, and most people would say one is enough, but if you got 4,835 of me on top of each other, that's how tall this mountain is. Or to put it another way, 8 times taller than Snowdon, the biggest mountain that there is in the UK. That's a really tall mountain, isn't it? If you and I went to the bottom of that and looked up, we might not even be able to see the top of it. That's how tall this mountain is. And yet, God made it. God is so powerful. He made the big seas. He made the tall mountains. But he didn't just make all the big, massive things. No, let's see what our next picture is. He also made the animals. Anyone got a favorite animal? Down in the front row here, you got a favorite animal? Timmy, what's your favorite animal?
Penguin.
A penguin. That is a great favourite animal? Faith, what's yours? Cat. Lovely cat. We see plenty of cats everywhere. Somto?
Pandas.
Wow, lovely. Have you seen one? Oh, that would be fun one day, wouldn't it, to see a panda? Yeah, what's your favourite animal?
Unicorn.
A unicorn. Wow, you'd struggle to see one of them in a zoo, I think. But nevertheless, a fantastic animal. Panda as well, two pandas. And Ali, what's yours? A pig. Wow. And not just because they're tasty. Lovely. Well, animals, God made all of the animals that there are in all the world. A fantastic, I always find a fantastic day out is to go to the zoo. Claire and I went to the zoo a few years ago, and we didn't have enough time. We were just going from one to the next to see all these different animals. And they can be so tall and so big and so fast. I read this week that a cheetah can run at 71 miles an hour. That is faster than you and I are allowed to go on the motorway. And we won't talk to the grown-ups about how fast you're allowed to go on the roads around here anymore. But cheetahs can run so fast. Giraffes, they can be about 6 meters tall. That's about 3 times taller than I am. God made animals that are so big and so small. Big pandas, small little cats and penguins. He made all of them. But God didn't just make the animals. Let's see what else he made. He also made fruit. What a lovely fruit salad, which could only be better if a bit of ice cream with that picture. I think that would make it even better. But look at all these things you've got this morning. We've got fruit and we've got veg. We've got this nice juicy orange and the grapes and all the things that have been brought to the harvest table this morning. I read this week, did you know that actually a banana is a berry? I didn't know that. And a strawberry, we haven't got a strawberry here, but a strawberry technically isn't. And that's because of where you find the seeds. You can ask someone who's a bit more of a scientist than me about that. But the seeds are on the inside in a banana. They're just so small we don't see them. So really, a banana is a berry. Have we got, is this a pomegranate? That's good. Pomegranate has got up to 14,000 seeds just in one pomegranate. Isn't that amazing? So many seeds, because God is such a generous God. He's such a creative, abundant God. He gives us all these different colours and all these different shapes and all these different sizes. Could have just given us one fruit, couldn't he? But he gave us so many. God is such a wonderful God. But one more thing that God made. Let's have a little look. Human beings, you and me, boys and girls, God made all of us. He made us just as we are, so deliberately. You are who you are because God said so. That's such a wonderful thing. Gives me such a comfort to know that I'm here and I am who I am because that's who God said. And you know what? Our little tongues, which do lots of talking and lots of eating, when we have all this lovely fruit and veg, our tongues have got about 8,000 taste buds on them so we can taste all the juiciness and all the sweetness and all the sourness, all the different flavours that there are out there because we have 8,000 taste buds just on our one little tongue. Isn't that amazing? And all of us here this morning, the grown-ups as well, we've got that many taste buds. Our heart, over an average lifetime, will beat 2.5 to 3 billion times. Our hearts are so amazing. They just keep beating and keep beating for so many years. And our skin, even though we don't see it, this is a fun fact, right? Our skin, it looks the same, and we don't see this happening. But every month, today's the 1st of October, so it's a new month, every month we have a new set of skin. Because our skin is constantly refreshing itself and fixing itself. And so every month, all of our little skin cells, they get replaced by new ones because God, he sustains us. He upholds us and he loves us so much that he has made us the way that we are. Isn't this world just amazing? It's just fantastic, isn't it? The detail and the great variety. And we've kind of gone quite quickly through all the things that God has made and we could have thought more about the animals or more about the mountains. But God has made this amazing world, and as we thought in that psalm, the earth is the Lord's. God made this world. It belongs to him. He is Lord of it, sometimes we sing. He's in charge of it, that means. This world belongs to him. And so, as we wrap up this first little section, I just want to ask all of us this question, really, of, well, do we believe this? Do we believe this morning that God made this world? Do you and I believe that God deliberately made you and me? Do you believe that? That God made this world? Because he made it, and because of that, it all belongs to him. So important that we think about that and we believe that. Well, you've listened really well. And if you want to go back and sit in where you were before, near the front, because I'll still need your help later, then that will be okay. Or we're going to continue to think about this verse in Psalm 24. We'll have it on the screen again so we can say it together again and remind one another of the truth of what we're thinking about this morning. In Psalm 24 and verse 1, we're thinking about how this world belongs to God. And because everything we have is from him, it means that God is the source of everything. What I mean by that is everything we have comes from him. So hopefully we can have the verse up on the screen. All we have belongs to God. And there we go. Let's say Psalm 24, verse 1 together again. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Psalm 24, verse 1. Thank you very much. So, we could prove this using any number of things here this morning, but I'm really glad that somebody bought a jar of jam to the harvest table, because with this jar of jam, we can show and we can prove that God really is the source of everything. So here's our jar of jam. Now, where did we get this jar of jam from? Where would we have got this from? Somebody bought this today, and it came from where? Came from the shop, didn't it? Specifically, this came from Aldi. Other retailers are available. And, yeah, you can go to any number of shops, can't you, to get your jam. And we're very thankful for the people who work in the shop, and they put the food out on the shelves for us to buy it. So we got this from the shop. But then, where was the jam from before the shop? How did it get to the shop, do you think? Do you think someone just walked there with a jar of jam and put it on the shelf? They were delivered. Oh, yes, excellent. Let's do two steps in one on the next slide. There were people in lorries who brought it from a factory. You know, I once met someone whose job it is to... I'll get this right. They were like logistic person whose job it was to make sure that there were lorry drivers in the right places across the country all the time. A really interesting job that I'd never even thought about before. But if we didn't have lorry drivers who not only delivered our jam, but all the food and everything else we have at home, we'd be really stuck, wouldn't we? So we're really thankful for people who drive our lorries, and also the people, like you say, James, who work in the factories to make this jam. So what are things that we got in here? Sugar, strawberries, glucose and syrup, and all kinds of other interesting things, which I'm sure we can go home and research. But strawberries and sugar, and they all have to be blended together and put in a process so that you and I can have jam on our toast or have marmalade or whatever it is you like to have. We need to have our these factories, don't we? But all the ingredients, they would have come to the factory from somewhere. Where would the ingredients have come from before the factory? Somto. From the farmers, right. So let's go to the next one. The farmers, they would have had to grow the fruit. They'd have had to dig in the soil and sow seeds, and they'd have had to make sure that the ground was right for fruit and veg to grow, and they'd have to look after it and keep all the birds away. So many things that the farmers would have to do, and they'd have to make sure that they had nice fertilizer and good soils. But earlier this year, I was preaching at a church down in Pembrokeshire, and there's lots of farmers down there, and a friend there was telling me this, that you can have farmers who have lots of money, and they have the best equipment, and they have the best quality seed and the best quality fertilizer. But he said, you can spend all the money in all the world and be a really rich farmer, but there's one thing that no money can buy. What do you think he was talking about? What one thing can all the rich farmers in all the world not control and use? They can't control God's love. Well, that's very true. And one of the ways that God shows his love towards us is in, you say the rain. Excellent, Ali. Thank you. The rain and the sun. God controls the weather. And so my friend was saying, you can have wonderful farms, but if you don't have the right weather, if God doesn't give us the sun and the rain and the clouds and the wind coming from the right direction, if we don't have that, well, we're not going to get our jam. We're not going to get our apples or our pears or our carrots or our pineapples or anything, because God gives us the weather. So we wouldn't have our jam if it wasn't for God, because God is the giver of all these things. Without the sun, without the rain, we wouldn't be able to have these wonderful things that we've got here this morning. So God's so kind to us, isn't he? He gives us all these things, and it all goes back to him as the source of all, the source of the weather itself. So don't you think God deserves our thanks? We should say thank you to God, shouldn't we, for all the things that he gives us. But you know, so often we don't do that, do we? We ignore God. We don't think about him enough. We don't think about the fact when we eat and we drink. We've got those things because God's given us those things. And you know, the Bible says that all of us do this. We just do it by nature. We reject God. We ignore God. And when we do that, the Bible says that that is called sin. That's the word the Bible uses. It's a word that's not very popular maybe these days, but that's the word the Bible uses, and we have to be honest with each other about what God says. And you know, since God made this world, the first human beings, Adam and Eve, they rejected God. They decided, we're not going to listen to God anymore. We're going to do our own thing. And ever since that point, ever since then, you and I, that's what we do by nature. We reject God and his ways. We ignore him. We take all the lovely things God gives us. We take the created things, but we ignore the creator. We don't listen to him. We don't give him the thanks that he deserves. We should thank God, but we don't. And so I want us to just think about this question for a moment. Do you believe that this morning, everything we have here is from God? Do you realize that he's the source of everything good, that every perfect gift is from him? I wonder, are you honest enough this morning to admit this in your own heart, that you don't give God the thanks that he deserves? You don't listen to him as you should. Do you know that you should do that this morning? You're hearing this and you're thinking, well, I need to say sorry to God. I need to say sorry for all the ways I don't say thank you and I ignore him, and I should come and I should thank him for every good gift, thank him for the best gift in all the world, and which we're going to think about a little bit more in a moment, and we're going to sing about, but we should come and we should say sorry and we should say thank you. So we're going to do that now. We're going to pray together. One of the wonderful things we can do as Christians is pray. So we're going to pray to God and say sorry and say thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you have made. We thank you that you made this world, that you made us, you made one another, that we are here this morning on purpose because you say so, and that every single thing that we have in this world comes from you and from your kindness, because you give us the sun and the rain. You give us the ground from which fruit and veg can grow. We thank you for all of the men and women who work in factories and drive lorries and work in our shops, that we can have lovely food and drink day by day. But Lord, we're so sorry that so often we forget to say thank you. We don't listen to you as we should. We ignore you and we forget about you. And we take all the lovely things that you give us and we don't give you thanks. Please forgive us for all those times we do that, those ways that we ignore you and we reject you. We want to come and say sorry for that this morning. And we want to say thank you for all the good things you give us. And most of all, the gift you've given us in the Lord Jesus. And we pray that as we continue to sing and think about that great gift you've given us in him, that you might help us to turn to him and to trust in him for ourselves. Lord, we thank you this morning as well for the work of the food bank here in Kosainen. We thank you that you've helped us this morning to give and to bring whatever we can for the food bank here. And we pray, Lord, that you would use all of the things that we've brought to help and support and to bless others in our community, those who are in need. We thank you for those who give their time week by week to support those who need these food parcels. And we pray, Father, that you might help them most of all to come to know you, the one who gives us all that we need, as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, aren't those interesting words that we've sung? I wonder if we meant that as we said that, that every day we have on earth is given by the King, is given by God. And so the only thing you and I can do is respond to him, give our lives to love and to follow him and to trust him. Well, we're going to think one last time about that as we think about this verse that we've been looking at this morning. First of all, thinking about this whole world belongs to God, and then how everything in this world belongs to God. And we've got one more thing to think about, and it is this, that we belong to God. You and I this morning, from the youngest of us to the oldest of us, whoever we are, we belong to God. So here's our verse one more time. Let's say it together. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Psalm 24, verse 1. See, I'm not making it up. We belong to God, the world, and all who live in it. And you know, all of us this morning are living on earth, aren't we? Even if sometimes our heads are in the clouds, our feet are on the ground, we all are living on this earth. So that means we, all of us this morning, belong to God. But we were just thinking, weren't we, about the problem that you and I have is we like to think that we are in charge. We like to think that we are our own masters, if you like. But actually, it's Jesus who is in charge. Now, has anybody here got a favorite film? You got a favorite film? You got a favorite film? Yeah, what's your favorite film? Is it Frozen, based on the t-shirt that you're wearing? That's a good classic, isn't it, Frozen? Anyone else? James? Got a favourite film? Cars. Oh, Cars. That is a good one. I remember that one when I was younger. That is always a great watch. Timmy?
Toy Story.
Toy Story. That is a great answer. I'm coming back to you in a second. Hey. Barbie. The new Barbie film. Have you been to the cinema to watch it? Oh, not yet. No, maybe one day soon. Toy Story. I'm coming back to Toy Story, Timmy, because I love Toy Story. I remember it when I was younger, and it's still around now, isn't it? Toy Story 4, not that long ago. So who can tell, maybe you can help me, Timmy, but see if anyone else can as well. This is quite a philosophical question, I suppose. Who is Buzz Lightyear? What is he?
A space
ranger. He's a space ranger, isn't he? But is he a space ranger who goes flying around in space? Or is he a space ranger who is there with all of his other friends? Because, have you seen Toy Story 2?
Yeah.
I think that the early ones were better, but we can talk about that over squash later. In Toy Story 2, the whole point of that film is Buzz Lightyear thinks he's from the Gamma Quadrant or somewhere? He's from somewhere far away, and he thinks he's a real space ranger. But who is he actually, as this next photo will tell us? Who is he actually? He is a... Let's see the next photo. He's a toy, isn't he? He's a toy. And whose toy is he specifically? Who does he belong to?
Andy.
He's Andy's toy, isn't he? And there's this bit in the film, isn't he, where Andy gets him Buzz's... Woody gets in Buzz's face and says, "You're a toy. You're not a space ranger. You're a toy." And that is exactly what I want us to kind of... This is the last picture I want us to go with this morning. Buzz belonged to Andy. He thought he was some space ranger around fighting crime and all the rest of it. But actually, he was a toy. And that's the wonderful thing about the story, isn't it? He wasn't just a random toy there by accident. No, he belonged to Andy. And so, for us this morning, we've got to realize that you and I, all of us, we were made deliberately, created by God to have a relationship with him. That's why God made us. And what's so sad about this world is that because of the brokenness and the sin that exists, we don't know that. It's not something that we experience and we know day by day. And so that's why God did something. He did something about the great problem that exists in our world. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent one into this world to save you and I from our sin, that we might be restored to a relationship with the God who made us and knows us and loves us so very much, that we might truly know that we belong to God. Not so that we can look under our shoe we've got a name on it, but that we might know in our hearts that we're not accidents in this world, but that you and I belong to God, that you and I have got meaning, purpose. We've got a maker, one who knows us. And we're more than just toys. We've been deliberately made in the image of God. That means we reflect who God is in who we are. We're special. We're better than the fruit and the veg and the animals. We're more important than all of them because God has made us. And he says that we can belong to him if we will trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the final picture shows, that is how that happens at the cross. That's why Jesus came into this world, to die on a cross in the place of you and I, that we might know all those wrong things we've done forgiven, that we might know the one who made us and who loves us. I want to say to all of us here this morning, there's a day coming when all of us will know this for ourselves, whether we like it or not. We belong to God, that is an absolute fact, but one day there'll be a day when Jesus comes again, and we will know for certain that we belong to God. Even if we don't believe it this morning, we say, oh, I don't want to know about that, that's not for me. Well, that's fine if you want to believe that now. But a day's coming when Jesus will come again, and he will reveal himself to be the Lord of all, as really the one who made this world and who made you. And well, we need to be ready and to make sure that we respond today to the Lord Jesus, of who he is and all that he's done for us, to trust in him and to be able to say in my heart, I know that I belong to Jesus, and that Jesus, that he belongs to me. That's why this verse we've thought about this morning is so helpful. This verse that says that this whole earth is the Lord's. It belongs to him. Everything in it belongs to him, and you and I too. We who walk on this earth, we belong to Jesus, whether we like it or not. But this morning in our hearts, we can know that to be true if we'll come to him and we'll trust in him. So I want to leave you with that question to finish. Do you trust in Jesus this morning? Do you know him? Can you say that you belong to Jesus Christ, that you know him, that you love him, and that you trust him? But as we finish, let's just pray and commit the rest of our day to God. Father, we thank you so much that we've been able to come together this morning to think about who you are and what you've done. Lord, maybe we've heard something new this morning, and we pray you'd help us to continue to think about who you are. The creator of this world, the one who made us and loves us and wants to know us in relationship again this morning. Lord, please help all of us to think about what we've heard, that we might know one day for ourselves that we belong to Jesus, and that Jesus belongs to us because he's gone to the cross for people such as us. Lord, we're so grateful for who you are and all that you've done for us, and we pray you'd continue with us, help us through the rest of the day. Thank you for every good thing that you give us, and most of all, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.